In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, my brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, I am absolutely Loctite certain that I will experience and enjoy fulfillment and eternity in heaven with my Lord Jesus Christ. Is that boasting? If you share my faith in Jesus Christ as my Savior, that doesn't likely sound as boasting. But to the ears of someone who does not believe in Jesus Christ, likely does. Isn't our perspective on boasting often more about whether or not the outcome being boasted about being certain? For example, was the young, brash New York Jets quarterback boasting at poolside in the sunshine in the days before Super Bowl III when he guaranteed that his very, very underdog team would beat the mighty Baltimore Colts? They did. Was it boasting when the general stood before the bank of TV cameras and microphones and spoke to the uneasiness of the American public by assuring that once we fully saw and experienced through media the shock and awe campaign that was about to be unleashed on our enemies, that we would no longer have the same level of concern about what we were getting ourselves into? How many days did the Iraqi forces withstand shock and awe after all? So maybe, if it's all about something that is certain in its outcome, it's not necessarily boasting at all. My mother would still assure you, though, that boasting is never appropriate. It's impolite. It shows a lack of character. It shows a desire to kind of elbow your way into some situation where what you're bringing to the table is acknowledged in a way that just prove it in your actions. When you read the last verses of our text for the day, Paul's statement regarding boasting may hit your ears in a number of different ways. But the point he's trying to make is that there is absolutely no one under any circumstances in regard to the issue of eternal salvation that has anything to boast about. Where then is boasting? It is excluded. On what principle? On that of observing the law? No, but on that of faith. For we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from observing the law. He's pointing back to Habakkuk there in the Old Testament. As he had said earlier too, apart from law has been made known to which the law and the prophets testify, a righteousness from God is now ours. It comes through faith in Christ Jesus to all who believe. How can you boast about something that's not really about you at all? And while this is a conversation about eternal salvation and spiritual things, we could extend this point in this conversation a little further in regard to so much about ourselves and the way that we address our world and our lives. Can you sing like a bird and dance like an angel? Are you more athletic than your average bear? Has it been pointing out to you over time that you are above average in your looks and your attractiveness? Do you sometimes suspect that you are the most intelligent person in the room? Maybe it's about ability. Do you have the skill of a surgeon? Or do you know your way around the mechanic's big chest of tools, that red one on rollers? However you measure your life and your value to this world, however you measure yourself and desire others to see you, what of who you are have you actually made of yourself from whole cloth? And what is simply faithful use and applications of the blessings God has showered upon you? Even take it in the direction of simply opportunity and life experience. Oh, sure, there may be someone close to you who loves you dearly that's willing to whisper in your ear, "Good for you. You've earned this. You deserve this for the effort you've put in, for your faithfulness, your loyalty, your hard work, your years of persevering." But in that moment, take a step back and ask yourself the question, do all of those things really apply to me over against the other candidates for this position? Is that really the reason why this has come my way? Compare yourself to Joseph in Egypt, in Potiphar's house. Extremely faithful, high character, hardworking, nothing in the household left to him or withheld from him to manage other than Potiphar's immediate family. Where did that land him? Not with a promotion. He wound up in jail. God had bigger purposes in mind for his life and his abilities and his faithfulness. We really don't have anything to boast about, do we? It's not just about our eternal salvation. It's about who we are and the realities we need to understand as God's word speaks to us its bold truth. There is nothing we are going to do ever under any circumstance that is going to be valued in a way that will impact our relationship with our Heavenly Father. Nothing. Not before we believe in Jesus as our Savior, not after his salvation is a motivating factor for the choices we make and the things that we do. It's not about us. That's so hard to accept, isn't it? That's so hard to deal with as we live our daily lives in a world that is so much about who I am and what I can do and making sure that you understand that and value that and give me the opportunities I deserve. God flips all of that on its head today in a conversation about the most important thing we could possibly ever possess, and assures us it's not about you and me. It's about a righteous God who, through faith in Jesus Christ, gives righteousness to all who believe. He says there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. The great equalizer. And it doesn't make any difference. It makes no difference whatsoever what era of history you've lived in. The color of your skin, the accent of your dialect, your gender, your age, your geography, your social standing. There's absolutely nothing that qualifies or disqualifies any human being from the truths of God's word, speaking in balance first the reality of our sinfulness, our complete lack of true eternal value in regard to God's judgment. In fact, we have to own how much it is the opposite. The deeper we come to know God's word, his expectations. A little bit of an exercise we did in the first lesson of our Sunday morning summer Bible study, the idols that we never knew we had, had us walking through the Ten Commandments and asking the question of ourselves, is every one of the in-between commandments and breaking them also breaking the first and the last commandments that God lists in Exodus and when he gives them to Moses? Do we realize that every single time we look God in the eye and say, I know what you have to say to me. I know what you value. I know how you define everything about me, my morals, my priorities, everything. But I'm just not going to do it. I'm going to live my life my way, by my terms, and you're just going to have to get used to it. Do we realize? It's idolatry. It's a violation of the first commandment and potentially numerous other commandments all at the same time. And it's the way we live our lives. It's the titanic struggle that we're engaged in on a daily basis to overcome our own sinful nature, which we were born with. Sure, it's a genetic reality, but we also have plenty of active choices and sins that we must own as we overcome the worst that is in us. In every one of us, to listen to God speak to us of a righteousness he gives as a gift, that he bestows upon us, a righteousness that he tells us his Old Testament law and prophets testified about fully. And it's all about faith in Jesus Christ. It's freely given by grace, this redemption that came by Christ Jesus, through a sacrifice of atonement. We need to be at one with God. And there is absolutely nothing we can do to make it so. And so God, in his unconditional, unlimited, unwavering grace, his commitment to us, became one of us, took on human flesh, experienced the human reality to its ultimate depths. And all the while, weaving together, day after day, stitch after stitch, a fabric of righteousness that was perfect and holy and flawless, that he now offers to you as the robe of righteousness you wear to stand acceptable in your Heavenly Father's sight, welcome in his presence, not just now, not just here, but for all eternity. How is that so? How is that possible? Well, his cross was the altar on which the sacrifice of atonement was made. When he rose on the third day, it guaranteed to us that he did not need any of that righteousness for his own interaction with his Heavenly Father, that he now could give all of it to us as a gift. An ocean, an infinite ocean of righteousness and forgiveness available to anyone and everyone who believes that it's theirs through the work of the Holy Spirit through word and sacrament. And in and of itself, there is a natural temptation there to boast, isn't there? If God is that interested in me, if God would do all of that for me, there must be something about me that he values. Take a deep breath and once again a step back and realize what he says here. That offer is made to every single human being that is present on this earth at this moment, has ever lived, will ever live. There's nothing to boast about. We're all equally condemned under God's law, but we're also all equally made righteous, justified, forgiven of every last one of our sins in the gift of Jesus Christ. So if you're going to boast about something, boast about this amazing gift of God. Especially if that boasting is making sure others who do not know and believe that gift is theirs are hearing from you what an amazing God you have, that He is unconditional, unwavering, completely just and right in His law and in His love, and that results in you and they having a righteous gift of eternal life from God that belongs to every single one of us through faith in Jesus Christ. Redemption. It's a certain outcome. So maybe, just maybe, it's done exactly the way God has defined it in His Word, boasting about that will be all right. Amen. Please stand. We'll grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and forever. Amen.